This is a wonderful program. I love coming to it, but learning is hard work. It could be harder, of course. Just keep in mind today that right now, all across Texas, a couple thousand law school graduates are settling in for their third day of the Texas bar exam. They should be listening to their instructions right now. And they don't get to bring coffee or bagels. They don't even get to have mechanical pencils. That's the new thing this year. They've banned mechanical pencils from the bar exam. And it's not because they don't work on the bubble sheets or anything. No, it's that they're worried that the test takers will write down the exam questions on little slips of paper, smuggle them out in the hollow barrel of these pencils, and sell them. Because selling test questions is the big thing now. It's the big security concern. And for some reason, they think that law school graduates are likely to do this. And I don't understand that, because these are not engineers. They're lawyers. We don't know how to take apart a mechanical pencil. I've tried. I got mine out, and I can't get any of these parts to pop off. And if I could, look at how all these parts in this pencil. I wouldn't be able to get it back together to smuggle anything out in. I don't know what most of those parts are. I certainly don't know what that little frog thing is. I downloaded this off the internet. I didn't manage to take anything apart. I think this is another example of non-lawyers, lay people, not really understanding what lawyers are good at and what we're not good at. Which brings me to my topic. We are good at making legal forms very complicated. We are also good at simplifying forms, too. We try that. I've tried that. Clyde talked about that. For years, we were making the financial powers of attorney forms more and more complicated. Everyone had their own form, and some forms were 20, 30, 40 pages long. And then in 1993, Texas adopted a statutory form, and we got it down to 2 pages. For years, the powers of attorney that I drafted were 2 pages long. But it turned out that that was a little bit too simple. There wasn't quite enough in there. We're having problems with banks, and we didn't always have the powers we needed, and sometimes courts were construing our powers too narrowly. So we started adding things back. We got a new statutory form a couple years ago, and we've added a few things in other years to the statutory form. And now my powers of attorney are up to 4 pages long, which is still reasonably short, but we've added some good things. And yours may be even longer, 5 or 6 pages. They vary more now. Because creating a power of attorney is now sort of like ordering a sandwich at a sandwich shop. You can put stuff in, or you can leave stuff out. There's all these options now. And the statutory form now lists a bunch of options with instructions to initial next to the options you want and leave blank the ones that you don't want. And I'm a little concerned about that, initialing some and not others. I think it can lead to a lot of confusion. I've already had one client where I noticed after the signing ceremony, we forgot to initial some space we were supposed to, so we're going to have to go back and fix that. You know how the typical will signing goes. You've got 5 or 6 documents, or 10 or 12 or more if you've got a married couple, or even more if you have an unmarried couple. You've got 2 witnesses, a notary, your clients all signing at once. You're trying to make sure, you're trying to pay attention to make sure everyone's signing in the correct spots. And now we have to make sure they initial on some lines and leave others blank. And I think it's just a recipe for mistakes. What happens if the client accidentally initials both the line saying that co-agents can act independently and the line saying they must act jointly? Is the bank even going to accept that? Or will the bank say, well, this is ambiguous, and reject the whole thing? So now you're probably wondering why the legislature did it this way. Why didn't they just ask me and take my advice? I think they're trying to take care of all the do-it-yourselfers out there. They know that once you have a statutory form, once we have one in the code, some people are going to use it to avoid hiring a lawyer. The statutory form is a public record. It's on the internet. It has the endorsement of the government. So we can't really stop the pro se's from using it. We have to acknowledge that reality. So I think that all the initialing is in there to protect the do-it-yourselfers. If all of the options are spelled out and explained in the form itself, maybe the person signing it will decide to read it before signing it. That happens sometimes. People read documents before signing them. And if they read it, they will get a little bit of the advice that an attorney would give them if they hired one. So that's part of why we have all of the options printed there in the form itself, making it so confusing, at least for me. But this doesn't apply to my clients or yours. Our clients have an attorney. They have us. So they don't need all these options listed just to make sure they know about them. So when I draft financial powers of attorney, I usually delete the options that the client isn't choosing. That way the client can't accidentally initial the wrong one, and also no one else can quietly add the client's initials a few years later. I just don't like leaving blank lines in documents. It feels very problematic to me. Plus, taking them out makes the signing ceremony easier because I can say, okay, see all the blank lines? Put your initials on all of them. And then when I go to double check at the end, it's easier to make sure we've done everything right. I can just make sure every blank line has initials on them. On a few of the options in the new form, I delete the initial line even for the option that we are choosing, like the agent compensation decision. I don't think the client really needs to initial the line that says whether the agent is entitled to compensation. That's not a huge decision, and I don't expect litigation over it. You don't hear about cases on that. So I just have the client decide, and I put the correct language in the document the way I do with lots of other decisions in the power of attorney and the will. But on some of the new decisions, I do have my client's initial next to them, like the one that allows an agent to create a right of survivorship. That's a pretty significant power to be granting, and I kind of want the world to know that the client really did think about it, particularly if we're someday talking about the bank where the agent may need to set up an account with a right of survivorship. I don't want the bank saying, well, the statute kind of makes it sound like he's supposed to initial here, and we don't see any initials, so we're not really sure we can do this. You never want to hear that from a bank. So if we're going to need to convince a third party that we granted a particular power, I like to have the initials in there.